Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. This is Paul Blair. I'm co-pastor here with Dan Fisher at Liberty Church of Edmond, part of the Liberty Pastors Network. And, Dan, it was just a normal week this week. Nothing really went on.
Oh, no, not
unusual.
A thing. Yeah, everything's...
I can't think of anything to talk about, really.
Even keel, buddy. Everything's peaceful, and this pond is like a mirror.
There was that thing in Philadelphia that went on last week.
Oh, you mean in 1776?
No, actually, I think it was last week.
Oh.
It was eerily reminiscent.
September the 1st, 2022.
Yes.
How about
yes.
that? You mean where President Biden stood in front of Independence Hall with red light and two Marines flanking him on either side?
Do you think there was any intended messaging and all that?
You know, there could be.
You know, and if there wasn't any question over whether there was intended messaging, whenever he opened his mouth, it removed all doubts.
No, exactly right, because he literally claimed that equality and democracy are under assault.
Would you lay the foundation for our discussion today?
I would be happy to. You know, for a long, long time, Americans, Paul, have been struggling with how do we coexist mm-hmm. with this widening chasm between left and right. Mm-hmm. And we're to the place today where it seems apparent to me that we're just simply irreconcilably divided. The problem is most people go immediately back to 1860 and they say, oh, so you want a civil war. The last thing that you and I or any sane person wants is any kind of a war.
Right.
But sometimes you come to a place where, well, let me use the words of Thomas Jefferson. They come to a place in life where the differences are so pronounced,
yep.
one political party has to separate from the other, and they must yep. lay down the reasons, I'm paraphrasing, mm-hmm. for that separation. We have come to the place today, I don't know if it's 60-40, 55-45, or if it's just a straight 50-50, where America seems to be simply irreconcilably divided. And oddly enough, President Biden's speech last Thursday actually said that very thing. Mm-hmm. So you and I have been advocating for a long time that the framers never intended for this one-size-fits-all
right.
federal government, what we call federal, they called central or general, mm-hmm. but that the states were sovereign and were supposed to be over everything that affected their own citizens. 9th and 10th Amendments
right.
make that clear. And then the federal government was supposed to be over the foreign things,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, we've so flipped everything upside down that the states are over basically nothing, mm-hmm. and the federal government controls everything. So I think the question is, and Biden actually laid it out in his speech, whether he meant to or not, what are we going to do now that we are so irreconcilably divided? What are the solutions? And so I think that's what you and I would like to touch on today is what do you do when you've got a president that's saying this? What about the governor of New York City that told 5.4 million Republicans in that state, get out of here,
just
get
leave.
On a bus
yeah.
and go to Florida because you're not New Yorkers. When you have governors and presidents telling their citizens, get out, what do you do at that point? And so I think that's the discussion that you and I want to have today on this podcast. What should we do? How should we view this?
So what are the choices? We just wait till the next election and hoping that Washington fixes it?
You know, it's interesting today. Steve Dace on his program.
I love Steve.
Yeah, yeah you were on his program mm-hmm, not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
He posed that very question. And his concern was, he said, let's just say for a moment that there is a red wave this coming November.
Mm-hmm.
Can we count on the Republicans to do anything mm-hmm. if they're given the power?
Mm-hmm. I think very clearly the answer is no, and we saw that not
well,
too long
so.
Ago.
I fear
if
that.
You remember when Obama had forced through Obamacare, and of course you remember years ago, Massachusetts even elected a Republican U.S. Senator.
To throw the vote.
Because
yeah.
the people were opposed to nationalizing our health care.
Exactly. Massachusetts of all places.
Exactly. Not exactly yeah. a bastion of conservatism.
Not exactly.
Not anymore anyway. But the whole promise by the Republican Party is we're going to roll back Obamacare.
Yeah,
of course. By the way, our medicine, health care has become a disaster
in
the United States.
Oh, it's a total disaster. Well, but for the globalists, it's perfect because yeah. now the federal government controls everything.
Exactly. And we've all got overpriced, crummy insurance now.
yeah. yeah.
It used to be called major medical,
yeah.
and you just paid a couple hundred
now
bucks for it.
Now it's just a major pain in the
that's
rear end.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But the promise was we're going to roll back. We're going to do away with Obamacare. And there were 70 times that the Republican-controlled Congress voted to roll back and eliminate Obamacare while President Obama was still in office.
Yep.
And they had cover. It was all just bull.
Yeah, because they knew he wouldn't sign it.
Was gonna, exactly.
And it wasn't veto-proof.
And then once President Trump was elected.
Who would sign it.
And he said, please, bring that back to my desk. The same Congress wouldn't pass the bill. Now that tells
Not one time.
After 70 times.
Yeah.
Then once they could actually do it, they chose not
zero.
To.
Crickets.
So that just goes to it. When is the last time a Republican Congress has really done anything? And you remember when President Trump was in office, he kept asking them to take a stand against the Johnson Amendment. Of course, he issued an executive order.
But that was temporary.
Exactly. But our Congress wouldn't do it. Why do we think that Congress is going to change? Now, I think they're going to slow things down. But quite frankly.
Maybe.
You know, President Trump identified and drew out the existence of the deep state.
And
it's
no
longer a theory. They are in control of D.C.
Yes,
so much so that President Trump is now in Mar-a-Lago.
That's right.
And somehow or other, this man who can't even put together, can't even read a teleprompter, ran a campaign from his basement. Somehow won.
Yeah.
But he is in control, or the deep state is in control in D.C.
This cabal is.
So the question is, what can we do as states? And they actually, with what the governor said of New York, and then President Biden said himself, they have basically drawn the battle lines. They're the ones that are telling us what should be done.
No, yeah. In fact, President Obama said that the Trump and the MAGA Republicans, I'm quoting directly here, Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. In other words, we're the problem.
Now look at you and me, for example. We would be considered extremists.
Oh, of course.
You've been married for how many years?
41.
41 faithful, monogamous years of marriage. 33 faithful, monogamous years. We've raised good kids. Our kids haven't gone to prison. They're all married. Yep. They're raising and producing productive members of society.
Yes.
We both believe in consent of the governed. Quite frankly, we both believe in that if California wants to be liberal, they can be liberal. Leave us alone. We want to be conservative.
Exactly right.
So we aren't the ones beating the drum for a dominant central government. We're the ones that are trying to actually defend the Constitution or defend the Declaration and secure
liberty. Save the Republic. It's what we want to do.
He is calling us, we're the dangerous ones.
Yes.
Now, what happened the last time the United States of America went to war with fascism?
Yeah, well, it was in World War II.
And what did we do with the fascists?
Yeah, we put them out of business.
We put them out of business, wound up having the Nuremberg trials, and hung some of them.
And then we rebuilt the country that we had blown
up. Exactly, because that's what we are.
That's what we are.
But our own president called us semi-fascist.
So what does that mean then?
I guess we must be on his target list.
And they think we need to be tried and convicted and imprisoned for what we believe.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't draw any other
conclusion. We are at a point. This is not, at one time I thought Republicans and Democrats were like, well, the Democrats want like 30% taxes and more government control, and the Republicans want like 20% taxes, a little less government control. Not anymore.
No.
Now you've got these guys out there. They are literally wanting to do anything to incorporate the murder of preborn children into federal law. They're willing to do anything to promote and force the LGBTQ agenda on our children.
Yes.
And quite frankly, whenever I hear one of them say something about we're going to roll back those tax cuts for the rich, that just makes my head explode. Because understand, ladies and gentlemen, the whole idea of the socialists is that everything belongs to the government.
Yes.
And it's just their good graces and good nature that they're letting you keep some of it. No, that's not true. I'm the one that shows up for work every day. You show up for work every day. You own your own property. We work. We earn a paycheck. It's our money, not the government's money. And it's supposed to be up to us to tell them how much government we want, and then, of course, we've got to figure out a way to pay for it, not for them to tell us
how
much.
Paul, a lot of it is how they define rich.
Yep. Yeah.
See, they would consider you rich.
Sure.
So President Biden, when he's campaigning, says, President Biden, when he's campaigning.
Biden, I like that.
Well, Biden says, I'm not going to raise taxes on anybody who makes less than $400,000 a year. And yet, just the other day, he issues this blanket debt forgiveness for all of these college debts. Now, who do you think is going to pay that? They're raising taxes on us just indirectly through inflation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who isn't paying that?
Mm-hmm.
We've all had our taxes raised.
And inflation is an invisible tax.
It's a tax.
Your buying power, you don't have to write a check for it, but if you've got $50 in the bank and tomorrow you can only buy $25 worth of food with $50, then that's inflation. You've been taxed half of your buying
power. Just using the numbers that they provide, and I think the inflation's much higher, your money's losing 10%. 50% of its buying power every year. So in 5 years, it's lost 50%.
Yep.
In 5 years. Yep. In 10 years, zero.
Mm-hmm. So if you right now are retired and you're on fixed income, and let's say that you're making $7,000 a month right now as a retiree on fixed income.
Okay.
You've tried to budget and plan well and you're doing everything.
Yeah.
In 10 years, basically, you're saying that $7,000 a month will have the buying power in 10 years of what $700 does
yeah.
today.
Yeah, pretty much.
So basically, you're going to be broke
in poverty.
It's almost
zero.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not zero, but it's negligible.
Well, the whole goal is you'll own nothing.
And be happy about
That's
it.
That's exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah. So here we are now, Paul. Everybody's asking us. They ask us at Liberty Boot Camps, and they'll ask us on Sunday mornings, what do we do? Well, to me, there are just a few options, and most of them do not have a positive outcome. Number one, we can keep going to the polls as if we maybe can even trust that there's a fair election anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we can go to the polls, but even if we elect these Republicans, they seem to flip just as quickly as they get there. Look at Mitch McConnell
right.
and all those guys. He controls, by the way, $300 million in a war chest. And so that's why most conservative senators won't speak out against him, because he'll just hire someone to run against him and beat him.
Yep.
Okay, so we can either keep doing that, or we can just sit here and allow the left to just run over us, because they're going to use the law and ignore the law when it suits them. So 87,000 new IRS agents, who do you think they're coming after?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? If they want you to be guilty, you're guilty. I don't think it matters anymore, Paul.
And we just need to start. IRS agents, that's a fancy name for the modern-day Gestapo.
That's all it is. They're brown shirts.
All it is state police to intimidate and bully us.
And they've written the tax code so that it's so ambiguous that you ask two tax attorneys the same question, and it'll give you two different answers. In fact, I quoted from the book that was written about 10 years ago entitled Three Felonies a Day, where now every one of us unintentionally commits three felonies every day of our lives. Now, if the federal government ever decided we're going to prosecute you, we're guilty. We're felons. If they want to put us in jail, they will put us in jail. And I think that's what the whole Mar-a-Lago that we did the program about the other day was all about. If we can do it to a former president, we can do it to you, Buster.
Here's the thing we've got to recognize, ladies and gentlemen. There is a line that cannot be crossed.
That's
right. Our founding fathers recognized it.
That's right.
And they tried and tried and appealed to the king. They appealed to Parliament.
They did everything they knew how to do.
And then finally, as a last straw, they said, we are not going to become enslaved. We're drawing a line right here.
That's right.
If the federal government tries to pack the Supreme Court, then that's the end of the republic. If they try to add, like, D.C. as a state or Puerto Rico as a state, that's an end to the republic.
I mean, it has to be. So the question is there a line in the sand, Paul? For you, let me just ask you, do you believe there's a line where we have to say we can't go any further?
Absolutely.
So in your mind, what are those?
Well, one of which would be if they said we're going to tax or take away your firearms. In every case in history, and of course, we know the reason of the Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, was not so that the founding fathers could go hunting. And it wasn't primarily to defend their own property from a burglar.
Bad guy.
Which, although it did protect their property from burglars. But the reason was to protect their private property from a tyrannical, oppressive government.
That's exactly
which
right.
Which is what they had to fight to do to liberate themselves.
Which, by the way, that's what the militia was.
And you heard our president this week threatening the citizens of the United States.
Said, if you're going to come after
got
us,
an AR, well, we've got jet aircraft.
You need an F-15.
That is a declaration of war.
Yeah. So listen to what Jefferson writes here. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. So that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So see, when people talk about, oh, you guys just want to secede and start another civil war. No, that's what our framers did.
Right. And what we want is we want consent of the governed. If we actually had proper federalism, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in right now.
No, because Oklahoma would take care of Oklahoma.
If Massachusetts wants to be liberal, if they want to tax themselves at 75%, well, go ahead.
Knock yourself
out. Try it. After it fails, you're going to wish you hadn't tried that, but it won't destroy the entire country. By the way, the federal government also can't bail them out. There's got to be consequences for their bad decisions.
That's exactly right.
If California wants to be extremely liberal, great. Knock yourselves out. If that's what you want, that's good for you. We'll work together for our our common defense and for our general welfare.
Yeah.
But they won't leave us alone right now. They want to impose the murder of preborn babies across all the United States. Yeah. They want to impose the redistribution of wealth across all the United States. They want to take away our right to keep and bear arms and then at the same time defund the police across all the United States.
And then look at what happens to Australia when they do that.
Yep.
So let's kind of pull it together.
Okay.
Jefferson says that when this happens, when your government no longer protects your rights, you have three options. You can alter the government. That means to go back to the drawing board and make corrections. Mm-hmm. I think we're beyond that. You can, what can you do next?
Amend it.
Yep.
Alter.
He says abolish.
Abolish. Alter, abolish.
I mean, you just, you start over or you throw it off.
Mm-hmm.
Throw off means you've got to do something violent.
Alter, abolish, or throw
I call that DEFCON 3-2-1, and I believe we're between 2 and 1.
Yep.
So I believe that there is a line in the sand. I believe that we've probably already hit it, but if we haven't, we're quickly approaching it. And if we don't do something pretty soon, I'm not talking about loading up guns and going out on the street and shooting. First of all, who would you shoot?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I could think of a few, like maybe you. And no, I'm just kidding. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about states rising up and saying, enough.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to drag us down into the communist wormhole that you are in. I believe that the time has come, Paul, and we're going to have to begin this discussion.
Let me just share one thing. You know, states like Texas, you know, people think, oh, we can't exist without the federal government. Wrong. You know, Texas itself.
We can.
Texas would be the 10th largest economy in the world.
By themselves.
If they were just the nation of Texas.
Yeah.
Florida would be the 18th largest economy.
Wow.
Oklahoma would be like 48th.
Right.
We're larger than Cuba, just above Greece, right in that range.
Yeah.
I consider Greece a country.
Well, that's too.
What Oklahoma. And you know what? We looked at that from 2018.
Yep.
If you took the entire tax base for Oklahoma that we pay in federal and state taxes, and then you look at what's actually spent in the state of Oklahoma in every program, including Social Security and including military. If we didn't have the privilege of laundering our money through the black hole of Washington, D.C., we could provide every service that we currently have and enjoy the same luxuries that we currently enjoy for $18 billion a year less
than what we're currently paying.
And in Oklahoma, that's about a third. We can have about a third of a tax
cut. And we're not a large state.
We're not a large state. We can have about a third of a tax cut and exist beautifully without the luxury of having Nancy Pelosi misspend our tax dollars.
Well, I'm telling you, Paul, if we don't begin to have this discussion and we don't come up with a peaceful way to separate, it's going to look like a couple that's about to kill each other and it's violent.
And I think that this is one thing that will stop us from shooting at each other.
I think it is.
Quite frankly, we never advocate for divorce. Obviously, when we perform a marriage, we do counseling. We want to see a couple, for better, for worse, until death does them part. But sometimes, and the Bible even makes allowance
irreconcilably divided.
Sometimes you're so irreconcilably divided
that
divorce is the only option.
That's exactly right.
I think we're there.
We are there.
We're there.
We are there. And we better start thinking that way, because if we don't, it's going to be thrust upon us and we may not even have a choice at that point.
We're going to have to think outside the box. Yeah. We're going to have to think freedom. We're going to have to think proper government versus tyranny.
And so our church leaders are going to have to begin to think this way, Paul. We've got to begin to talk like this. I know it's dangerous. I know it's scary. But guys, what are the other options? The other options are so terrifying.
Hey, we're not the ones that stood in front of Constitution Hall with red lights and the military making threats of bombing runs.
No, that's exactly right. And look at what happened in Germany when the church and the conservatives didn't stand up.
Yep.
Before too long, they couldn't. It's like what Robert Niemöller says. I didn't say anything when they came after all these other people. Then finally they came after me and there was no one left to stand up for me.
You know what? These are, I think we'd all like maybe a little bit more boring times.
Well,
these are exciting times. But just as God raised up Esther when he did for such a time as this, there is no mistake that God has us here in Oklahoma doing what we're doing at this time in history
for
such a time as this.
And for our liberty pastors all over the country.
Yep.
So, Paul, I think we've covered it.
Folks, it's always good to be with you. We thank you for joining us for another edition of Riding the Storm Out. And we look forward to being with you next time. Until then,
God bless you and God prosper the cause.